Welcome to Ring of Fire. I'm Farron Cousins. Coming up on today's show, we've got more balloons. And of course, with those balloons being shot down over the United States, we also have conspiracy theories running wild. I'm going to talk about some of those. We also have Matt Gaetz, who accidentally brought an accused murderer to the House of Representatives to lead the Pledge of Allegiance during a recent House hearing. Republicans are out there attacking child labor laws across the country. Donald Trump is in even more legal trouble with new news that's come out. And of course, Mike Pence has been subpoenaed by the special prosecutor. We've got all of that and more coming up on today's show. But don't forget, you can get the full episode. Go to ROFpodcast.com, sign up and become a member. And for Ring of Fire every day of the week, subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/TheRingOfFire. And of course, I got to start today talking about those dang balloons, right? The United States over the weekend, we shot down a couple more, and immediately conspiracy theories started running wild. The prevailing theory among conspiracists and right-wingers is that we are allegedly under some kind of alien invasion that is located only here in the United States. So the aliens have arrived, but only to the U.S., right? They're not interested in the rest of the world. The aliens only want to see the United States, particularly, I guess, the Midwest. I guess it's attractive to them. I don't know, because the conspiracy theories haven't really gone in depth, but it got so bad. It got so bad that on Monday, you had General Glenn Van Herk go into a press conference for the White House where he said, quote, well, he was asked, you know, are these foreign objects? You know, is this aliens? And he said, I'll let the intel community and the counterintelligence community figure that out. I haven't ruled out anything at this point. And that's the problem. Like when he's like, look, I haven't ruled out anything. You were asked, like, are these aliens or these spaceships that you're shooting down? And he's like, hey, I'm not going to rule anything out. So this press conference that I guess was meant to alleviate some of the fears actually made them worse, because then you had Charlie Kirk, the founder of Turning Point USA. He played that clip where this general says, I haven't ruled anything out. Charlie Kirk plays that and then jumps into an even wilder conspiracy, suggesting that the alien conspiracy is actually the conspiracy. You know what? Let me just read what Kirk had to say. Should we even trust anything that the government is saying? Could this all just be a false flag operation to fake an alien invasion or fake a UFO hysteria crisis to try to justify more power, lockdowns, control? These are all rational questions, but I do believe this. I feel like I'm being lied to. So Kirk actually goes out there and says, like, these are rational questions. No, they're not, because you took the alien conspiracy and somehow turned that into a new conspiracy that the government is only pretending that we're being invaded by UFOs because they want more lockdowns like we had during COVID. I mean, Charlie, you do know there's an easier way to put lockdowns in place by the federal government. They could simply just do it. They could go back and say, hey, we messed up saying, you know, erasing all the COVID pandemic precautions. We're going to put those back in place. They could just do that. And it would, by the way, save lives, because yes, COVID deaths are still a thing, hundreds a week. But Kirk is so irrational, contrary to what him, you know, what he has to say about it. He's just asking rational questions. He's so irrational, but he understands that his audience is even more irrational. They're even dumber. I mean, hell, even Marjorie Taylor Greene had to come out on Monday and assure her constituents and her followers there is no alien invasion. We got a balloon issue, sure. And yes, we do. I mean, we got to figure this out. And I guarantee you, as is the case, I mean, the government's not telling us everything because they know that we're freaks. They know that we will freak out. We'll have that mob mentality if we ever know the full truth. I'm not saying I condone government cover-ups, but let's be honest, folks. We have seen the right-wing crazy reaction, going all the way back to the first balloon a couple weeks ago. These are not people that can handle the full information, okay? These are not rational thinking individuals who are level-headed, calm, cool, and collected. These are people that freak out over M&Ms. Okay, they were mad at Rihanna, said her halftime performance at the Super Bowl was satanic because she was dressed in red descending from the heavens, much like Lucifer in the Bible when he was cast out. So these aren't exactly the kinds of people who probably need the full extent of what's happening with these balloons. To quote Jack Nicholson, I guess you can't handle the truth. But when they don't get the truth, of course, that leads to these idiotic conspiracy theories that the United States is somehow under an alien invasion. And again, just think about these conspiracies for a second. In order for them to be true, what we would have to accept as reality is that an advanced species from a different planet, probably obviously a different solar system, has mastered interstellar travel in balloons, right? I mean, they're not even stopping to think about that. Like, if you're an advanced race and you have mastered interstellar travel, I guarantee you, you're not doing it in a slow-moving balloon that can be taken down by a couple bullets. That doesn't seem very smart. There's meteor fragments, some the size of pebbles flying around outer space. If you're an advanced race, you're not cruising through space in your weather balloon waiting to get one of those fragments through it. And then, hey, you're gone. Like, what do you do? So no, first of all, it's not even plausible because balloons are not made for interstellar travel. Second of all, if there were an advanced species out there that somehow was traveling planet to planet in balloons, why are they only coming to the United States? Like, that's the other part. Like, the aliens just simply don't care about anywhere else. They're not even interested in seeing what's going on in Canada. Like, they don't want to go visit Europe. I would think Egypt would be a pretty cool place to go see. Australia would be awesome. No, aliens just totally not interested in that. They don't want to go and look at the oceans. Just the United States, right? These conspiracies, I love to break them apart like that and really explain them and get down in, because I'm hoping that eventually somebody who believes these things will listen to that and be like, okay, well, when you break it down like that, yes, it makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. But that's where we're at. I can say with pretty good confidence, we are not suffering from an alien invasion right now. And, if I get proven wrong, I guess I'll eat crow on that. But I'm willing to bet we're not under an alien invasion. What we are under, however, is an attack from Republicans. And there's two issues here that I want to talk about. We've got massive Republican attacks happening all across the country, as is usually the case. But one of the more interesting ones is that Republicans are now out there, state by state, attacking child labor laws. Republicans want to put your kids back to work in the mines. They want them working in slaughterhouses. They want them working in those big meat freezers. Because apparently 100 years of not letting kids go out there and work in these dangerous jobs where they can lose life and limb, that's just about enough for these Republicans. So what's happening is in the state of Iowa, the Republicans have put forth legislation that would basically repeal most child labor laws in the state, allowing kids as young as 14, if they get this special exemption, to work in the mines, that is specifically mentioned, to work in slaughterhouses, to work in freezers, to work with in the logging industry. kids. I mean, we're talking about 14-year-old kids. We don't even trust you enough to drive a car, but we're going to go send you into the forest with a giant saw and you can start cutting down these trees. And it's not just Iowa. In fact, on the Iowa issue, Pap and I have a longer segment coming up on that on this week's America's Lawyer. Make sure you tune in. It's on our YouTube channel, exclusively youtube.com/TheRingOfFire, Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern. But here's the other ones. Let me read this. This is from The Guardian. In Ohio, legislators reintroduced a bipartisan bill this year to extend working hours for 14 and 15-year-olds with permission from a parent or legal guardian. They called on Congress to adopt the same rollbacks at the federal level. Legislators in Minnesota introduced a bill in January to extend work hours for 14 and 15-year-olds. Republicans in Wisconsin passed a bill that was vetoed by Governor Tony Evers this month that would have expanded work hours for 14 and 15-year-olds. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy signed a similar law last year that extended work hours for 14 and 15-year-olds to work longer hours during summer months and on holidays, and expanded allowable work hours for 16 and 17-year-olds. At the federal level, Republican Congressman Dave Joyce of Ohio drafted a bill in 2022 to expand working hours for 14 and 15-year-olds during periods when school is in session. Now, I get that there are plenty of families in this country in the unfortunate situation where children have to work in order to help support the family. But that also in and of itself is another policy failure. No family should be in the position in this country where a child has to go to work in order to help them pay their bills. When we hit that point, which we hit it, obviously, I mean, it's been throughout American history here, but we've failed. We've failed that family as a country, and we need to do more to help them. Those children, if you want to get a job, to earn extra money, to be able to go out and have fun, that's one thing. I did it the day I turned 15. I was so excited. I went and applied for a job at McDonald's. Like, I was excited to start working, but I wasn't working to help my family pay bills. I was working so that I had my own money and could do, you know, stupid stuff with it, let's be honest. So I get that there are probably people who would like to see the expansion of work hours for 14 and 15-year-olds under those circumstances. But we as a country need to improve the circumstances for those families to where we don't have to do this. Oh, and another thing, this is the kicker. On these bills, state by state, including the Iowa one, there's also little footnotes that really tell you what this is about, because this isn't about helping struggling families. It's not about actually letting kids have more hours. Because those bills contain provisions that say that the corporations employing these people are exempt from liability if these children lose a limb, get injured, or die on the job. So it is a corporate immunity bill. That's what these things are. They want to exploit labor. And remember this, like many times, these younger workers are not able to work 40 hours a week, so they're not classified as full-time employees. As such, you do not have to give them benefits. Sometimes, depending on the state, you don't even have to pay them the minimum wage. So it is a cheap source of labor. It is an expendable pool of labor for these people. They're exempt from liability under these bills. They can use and abuse these children and then just replace them when they, you know, oh no, you lost your arm in the logging accident. It sucks for you. We'll bring in the next kid. Oh, I'm sorry that you got black lung at the age of 16. Sucks for you. Let's bring in the next kid. That's what this bill is about. They want to put these kids to work because it's a cheap source of labor. It's not because they want to help struggling families. It's not because they want anything to, you know, they're not trying to teach these kids skills so that they can go out there and learn a trade. That's not what this is about. This is about giving companies immunity when these kids get hurt on the job. So that's one attack we're seeing in this country right now that, of course, does not involve aliens. The second one is the Republican attacks on Social Security and Medicare. So ever since President Biden's State of the Union address last week, where he talked about the fact that Republicans, specifically Rick Scott, want to sunset Social Security and Medicare, Republicans have been in full-blown panic mode because he exposed their evil schemes. That's what happened. So for the rest of the week and going into this week as well, we saw conservative politicians, Republicans, and conservative media try to tell us that President Biden is lying about Republicans wanting to cut Social Security and Medicare. Now, the problem with their claims that he is lying is that the day after the State of the Union last week, Rick Scott came out and confirmed that, yes, my plan is to sunset all federal legislation after 5 years, which would include Social Security and Medicare. But Rick Scott says, but don't worry, I'm totally sure that we'll pass Social Security and Medicare again. You know, so yes, it sunsets, but we'll just pass it again. Because, you know, there's definitely always guarantees in American politics. And so he confirmed that Biden was telling the truth. But then on Friday, I came across this article on FoxNews.com. I want to read the headline. Headline says, White House triples down on Biden's false claim Republicans want to cut Social Security and Medicare. So right there on the front page of Fox News this past Friday, they're saying Biden is lying and he's tripling down on the lie. Little later, I think about the fourth paragraph, they talk about Biden's claim that Republicans want to do this. Like I said, Rick Scott had already reconfirmed it at this point. So Fox News says, these facts have been labeled as false and needs context by fact checkers. And then Fox News proceeded to not cite any of these so-called fact checkers. They didn't link to anything, and they didn't, you know, tell us what the fact checkers really said about it. They just said, oh yeah, the fact checkers say this isn't true, and they moved on. They provided absolutely no context. So they're saying that he lied. They're repeatedly saying that he lied throughout this article, even though, again, Republicans had already confirmed it, and they provided no evidence to back it up, because your average Fox News reader doesn't need context. They don't need sources. You can say whatever you want to the Fox News viewer, the Fox News reader, and they're going to believe it. And that's how Fox News makes their money. It's super easy. You don't have to put a lot of effort into it. You just make stuff up. They'll believe it. It's a pretty sweet gig for them. But Mitch McConnell is so pissed off at Rick Scott. Like, there's a massive feud happening right now between McConnell and Scott. And so McConnell came out on Friday, was asked by the press about this plan, and Mitch McConnell goes, whoa, 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 this is not a Republican plan. This is a Rick Scott plan. And he said that two or three times. This is a Rick Scott plan. This is a Rick Scott plan. And of course, McConnell recently kicked Scott off of the Commerce Committee in the Senate after Scott tried to challenge him for his leadership position in the Senate. So he's punishing Rick Scott, but he's also throwing him under the bus, and honestly, rightfully so. Because these attacks on Social Security and Medicare are becoming very common from Republicans. Matt Gaetz mentioned earlier this year that he's open to cuts. Ron Johnson, Republican senator from Wisconsin, said he's open to cuts. Plenty of other Republicans are on the record this year, 2023, saying they're open to cutting these programs. So Biden did not lie. Fox News lied when they said he lied. These other Republicans are lying, including Mitch McConnell, when he says that's a Rick Scott plan. Nope. We got at least a handful of other Republicans that have said the same thing this year alone, Mitch. And the White House isn't backing down. The White House is going to hammer on this point because it's a winning point. Telling people that this Republican Party is out there and they're going to take away the benefits you've been paying for since you started working in this country, that's a winning message, and I hope the Republicans keep it up. Now, I just mentioned Matt Gaetz, because Matt Gaetz, you know, he, like I said, he's mentioned wanting to cut Social Security and Medicare. He also wants to cut food stamp benefits. But he also recently brought in an accused murderer to the United States House of Representatives to open up a Judiciary Committee hearing by saying the Pledge of Allegiance. The man was named Corey Beekman, or is named Corey Beekman, and he is a constituent of Matt Gaetz, but he used to live up in Michigan. And here's what happened. It was a hearing that happened the early days of February that kind of went unnoticed until the beginning of this past week. So what happened is that Mr. Beekman came in He's a U.S. Army National Guard veteran. And Matt Gaetz said, "It is my pleasure and distinct honor to introduce Corey Beekman." And then he praised him for his position on, quote, the board of a local gun club. What he didn't disclose, because according to Gaetz, he didn't know at the time, was that Mr. Beekman was accused of killing 33-year-old Billy Buchanan inside of a home in Michigan. He also shot a woman who was in the home with her two children, did not shoot the children. The woman did survive. And he was arrested by police after a 90-minute standoff with the SWAT team. See, Matt Gaetz didn't mention that. So the family of the man who was killed, you know, came out angry at Matt Gaetz. Gaetz then apologized. The family says, okay, we accept your apology for, you know, bringing in our son's alleged killer to lead the Pledge of Allegiance just because you're happy that he's in a gun club. I mean, this is a guy that lives in Northwest Florida now. He left Michigan where he's, you know, still facing the murder charges. If you want to find somebody in Matt Gaetz's district that's on the board of a gun club or a member of a gun club, walk outside, throw a pebble, and I guarantee you're going to hit somebody that's a part of it. I live here. I've lived here a hell of a lot longer than Matt Gaetz, that's for sure. And yeah, this is a gun-heavy area. You're going to find a lot of them. You didn't have to pick one that was accused of murder. And here's the best part about this. I'm going to read to you what I found in a quick Google search about Mr. Corey Beekman, the man that Matt Gaetz brought in. And this article was from 2017 when the murder happened. And it was on the first page of Google, didn't have to look far, didn't even have to scroll down. And this is what the article at the time said. Police arrested Corey Beekman, 32, at the scene, and he was later charged with open murder, assault with intent to murder on two counts of felony firearm for allegedly killing Billy Buchanan and shooting another woman inside the home. The woman's two children were also inside at the time Beekman was shot, both of them making it out unharmed. It took a SWAT team to get Beekman out of the home after a standoff that lasted an hour and a half, and while he was initially booked on the multiple felony charges related to Billy's murder, he was eventually released from jail, and the case has not yet been resolved via plea deal or trial. That was on the first page of Google when you type in Corey Beekman's name. Now, if you do that today, you're going to find all these stories about Matt Gaetz. But back when this story first broke, you could still find that on the first page of Google. Which means Matt Gaetz claiming, oh, we didn't know he may have killed somebody. You didn't even Google the guy. You didn't even look up his name. Nobody on your staff thought that it would be worthwhile to just say, hold up real quick, let me type this man's name into my Google search bar and hit enter and just see, let's just be sure, let's be safe. Nobody in Matt Gaetz's office thought of that. These are the dumbest staffers I've ever heard of in my life. And Matt Gaetz, of course, is a very stupid person in my estimation. To not know this, to not do your due diligence, to not vet somebody before marching them into the House of Representatives, that's nuts. That is beyond nuts. It is irresponsible, it is reprehensible, and that is the kind of theatrics that we have seen from Matt Gaetz since his very first day in office. Because again, you could have found anybody else in this district that's a gun-loving redneck to go in there and lead the Pledge of Allegiance. You didn't have to pick an accused murderer. I mean, the odds of that, my God. I don't believe for a second that Gaetz didn't know who this guy is. I don't believe that at all. There's no way you couldn't have known. There's no way you couldn't have done your due diligence on this. There's no way you didn't Google search his name. The odds of picking somebody like that randomly from your district, just absolutely improbable. But that's what he claims happened. And now he's in a hell of a lot of hot water for that. And speaking of hot water, of course, folks, we got Donald Trump. Donald Trump's got some big problems that came out this past week. Specifically, the revelation that he hired a firm called the Berkeley Research Group after the 2020 election to investigate the election results in six states. And those six states, of course, include Wisconsin, Georgia, Arizona, Nevada, Michigan, So he was looking, of course, to bolster his claims of fraud. You know, you, Berkeley Research Group, you go out there, you look, we're looking for dead people voting. We're looking for voting machines switching the votes. We're looking for people casting multiple ballots. We're looking for election workers throwing out ballots or fabricating ballots. That's what we want. That's what we've claimed in public. You just got to go out there and find it for us. And this was in December of 2020, before the insurrection took place. And the Washington Post is the one who uncovered all of this information. And then the Berkeley Research Group did their due diligence. They went out there to these states, hired dozens of people. They're out there. They're looking for all this stuff Trump says exists. And they come back at the end of December 2022, about a week or so before the insurrection on January 6th. And they told him, it doesn't exist. Those things you wanted us to find, we can't find because they don't exist. So Trump was told by the very group that he paid to find these things, voter fraud, wasn't there. You lost the election because you lost the election fairly. That is what this group told Donald Trump. And of course, he dismissed it. He continues his false claims. And then we end up with the insurrection on January 6th. Here's why this story matters. Because, look, we have seen other people come out and say Trump knew he didn't win the election. Kellyanne Conway has said she told him he didn't win, that there was no fraud. But now we have it on ink and paper. We have hard evidence that it was presented to Donald Trump saying you lost because you lost. That destroys Donald Trump's only possible legal defense if he is charged with conspiracy against the United States by Special Prosecutor Jack Smith. Here's what I mean. In the eyes of the law, not in my eyes, okay, this is just saying what the law says. If Trump, as president of the United States, genuinely believed that the election was stolen in 2020, if he genuinely thought that, if he had reason to believe that, yes, that is what happened, then all of his actions, again, in the eyes of the law, would be viewed as legitimate actions to investigate voter fraud, to prevent a fraudulent election from being certified. That is his only possible legal defense if, big if, he is hit with charges by Jack Smith. This document, this study that Trump himself commissioned, proves that he did not and could not have thought the election was genuinely stolen. He paid for this information. So this, I wouldn't call it a smoking gun situation, but it destroys his only possible legal defense. And I hope Jack Smith is paying attention to this. I hope Jack Smith looks at this and says, okay, good. Because now that we got him on this, now that we got him having paid for this, I can pop him with the charges and he can't. He can't wriggle his way out of this one. We'll see what happens. It's all up to Jack Smith. Hey, listen, that's the end of today's free portion of the Ring of Fire podcast. Got more coming up on the members portion in just a moment. But if you want to get the full show, go sign up and become a member at rofpodcast.com. In addition to the full show, which again is now twice a week, folks. But in addition to the full show, you get access to the entirety of the Ring of Fire podcast archives. So please, that's the best way to support us, rofpodcast.com.